If you've got a Bible with you this morning, I want to encourage you to have it in front of you because we're going to look at a number of different passages together this morning. And if you have the Bible open as we go through some of these passages, it will help me certainly in terms of teaching this morning because we're going to move through quite a number of passages to pick up some important teaching in relation to the guidance of God. I wonder how many decisions you've made this morning since you got up. Countless decisions, I expect, if you were to sort of stop and think. Many of us make decisions on sort of autopilot when we get out of bed first thing in the morning. What am I going to have for breakfast? Do you make that decision this morning? What am I going to wear? Probably some of you took longer than others in thinking about that question, depending if you're male or female. What do you plan to have for lunch? What time will you leave for church? Will you be there in time to get a seat this morning? How do you sort out the children after they've had four rows in a row this morning, if you're a parent? How do you encourage your teenage son or daughter to get out of bed at a reasonable hour on a Sunday morning? Lots of everyday decisions we make. We often sort of make on autopilot. That's just how life is. There are decisions to be made almost every moment of every day. We don't often give them a great deal of thought, but there are other kinds of decisions that we face sometimes. And sometimes some of the decisions we face in life are much more complex because the consequences of those decisions will affect other people around us. Get them wrong and they may have severe implications either for you or perhaps even for your family. And all of us will find ourselves making those kinds of decisions because it's part and parcel of life. To find yourself at a crossroads and think to yourself, I do not know which way I should go. And when we get ourselves in that kind of position, we need somebody who can guide us. We need somebody who has the knowledge and the understanding of who we are and the circumstances of our lives to be able to guide us in the right direction. And we come this morning to think about another aspect of the character of God. We're thinking this morning for a few minutes about the God who guides us. And I want you to understand this morning that we have a God who guides us. And we have a God who knows everything about us. I wonder, are you the kind of person who actually prays for parking places? Perhaps how some of you understand the guidance of God. So you're heading to the shops or you're going down the road and you pray that God will give you a parking space. Do you ever consider what might happen if somebody else was also praying the same thing and you both end up heading for the same parking place? Well, here's a cartoon that sums this up. Oh dear, it looks like Derek's been praying for the same parking space as another Christian. And here they are, trying to get into the same parking place. Derek doesn't look too happy. He's got a little banner saying God is love across the top of his car and he's got quite a grimace on his face from where I'm standing here. Maybe that's how you understand the guidance of God. Or perhaps at the other extreme, you're the kind of person who, when you reach a major decision in your life and you think, how am I going to get the answer to this? How do I know which is the wisest decision to make? So you think, well, I'll just open the Bible. And I'll kind of close my eyes and I'll put my finger on a verse and I'll look at the verse and I'll see what it says to me. That's a very dangerous form of guidance. Because you'll find verses like this in the Bible. Judas went out and hung himself. That wouldn't be very helpful if you were trying to make a major decision. Or perhaps you're really stressed out and you really don't know what's going on in your life and you're trying to find the way ahead and you find yourself in the Old Testament. And you find yourself in a passage which is telling you how many cubic feet there were supposed to be in the temple courtyard in Jerusalem. That is not very helpful if you're trying to find out how you're going to make a major decision in your life. So I want to say loudly and clearly this morning, that is not how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to go putting pins into the Bible to find out what we should do next. He wants us to gain sufficient wisdom and sufficient understanding so that before we reach the major decisions in life, we are able to draw on the wisdom of God. That's how God wants us to live. And there are a few important foundations that I want us to lay down this morning when it comes to the guidance of God. There are four things that I want to say about the guidance of God this morning. They're worth jotting down if you have a pen with you this morning. Because this lays the foundation for understanding that we have a God who is able to guide us. And so we're going to look at four Bible passages fairly quickly this morning, which is why you need to have a Bible open in front of you this morning. Firstly, I want you to understand this morning that God has the power to guide us. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 9. We've just been singing it together. It's one of the reasons why I chose that song again this morning. We've actually had these verses sung. We've sung them together. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God. Psalm 104 just introduces us to the greatness of our God. And I want to suggest this morning, as we look at this psalm, that we have a God who has the power to guide us. That is a great place for us to start this morning when it comes to the guidance of God. Psalm 104, verses 1 to 9. Let me read them. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O my Lord, O my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light. as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beam of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place that you assigned for them. You set a boundary that they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. It's a wonderful psalm, which points us to the power that God has. God has the power to guide you. I want you to understand that very clearly from God's word this morning. God is the creator of our universe. He owns it. He rules it. And as creator, he sustains all things, right down to the tiniest detail. This is our God, verse 1. O Lord, my God, you are very great. Second thing I want you to recognize from God's word this morning is that not only has God the power to guide us, but God has the knowledge to guide us. Turn to Psalm 139, a passage that Johnny was looking at with you last Sunday morning. But the opening verses of Psalm 139 are a great reminder to us that God has the knowledge to guide. God is all-knowing. He knows everything about you. And Psalm 139 just unwraps this truth for us. Again, just let God's word speak for itself this morning. Page 628, if you're using one of the church Bibles. Lord, you've searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. And you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And see what David says next. He says, it's too wonderful. He says, such knowledge is so wonderful. He says, I can't take it in. Such is your knowledge of me. He's like, it's so amazing. I can hardly grasp it, is what David is saying. And I want to suggest to you from this passage that God has the knowledge to guide you. Not only has he got the power to guide you, he's got the knowledge to guide you because he knows everything about us. In Matthew 10, verses 29 and 30, Jesus puts it like this. He says, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Which always makes me smile. Because there are some more hairs on some heads than others. But that's the intimate knowledge that God has of us. And even a quick glance at these passages help us to recognize that God has the power to guide his people. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. And he sustains the world in which we live, right down to the tiniest detail. I love this quotation I came across this week from a commentator. God knows everything. All events, all creatures of the past, the present, and the future. He never errs. He never changes. He never overlooks anything. He's perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven and earth. God has the power to guide us. God has the knowledge to guide us. From the very beginning of the Bible, you read account after account after account of how God led his people. He guided Noah to build an ark, and he gave him the specific specifications with which to build that ark. He guided Abraham as he told Abraham to leave his home and he would show him where he would go. He led the people of Israel on a journey out of Egypt by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When Solomon built the temple, he was given the specific details right down to the utensils that were going to be used in that temple. On one occasion, Jesus spent a whole night in prayer before choosing the disciples. There is no doubt, as you look at the Bible, that God has both the power and the knowledge to guide his people. Two foundations. Keep them secure. Here's the third foundation we need to note this morning. Psalm 23. A well-known and well-loved psalm by the people of God for thousands of years. A wonderful glimpse of a God who not only has the power to guide you, not only has the knowledge to guide you, but God actually has the desire to guide you. Wonderful picture in this psalm of a Middle Eastern shepherd's care for his sheep. One of the most amazing things that God has revealed about himself in the Bible is that he wants a relationship with people like you and me. And we say this, don't we, time and time again in this church. The Christian faith is not about a list of rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with the God who loves us. And that relationship is portrayed in a wonderful way in Psalm 23. Between a Middle Eastern shepherd and his sheep. Someone who would spend night and day with his sheep. Someone who would lead them. Someone who would guide them. Someone who cared for them deeply. Someone who knew exactly where he wanted to lead his sheep to. Somebody who would take his sheep through barren and dangerous places, but somebody who knew the terrain. Somebody who knew where the green pastures were. Someone who knew where the waters were to be found. Someone who knew where the final destination was going to be. Someone who was able to guide and protect his sheep along the way. His plans for them are good. His plans were always to prosper his sheep, but not to harm them. Just capture that image of a Middle Eastern shepherd caring for his sheep. Wonderful illustration or example of how God wants to care for us as his people, how he guides us on the journey of life. Now, with that picture in your mind, just read Psalm 23 as I read it out loud. Just follow the verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful picture of a God who desires to lead his people. The other foundation that I want us to lay this morning leads out of this psalm. Not only has God the desire to lead us, but God knows where he is guiding us to. I find it a wonderful truth this morning as we look at this. Not only does God have the power to guide us, not only does he have the desire to guide us and the knowledge to guide us, but he knows exactly where he is guiding us to. Ephesians chapter 1, we're not going to look at this passage in great detail because we haven't time this morning. But look at it again later in the day. Because here we have a glimpse of God's master plan for his people. We've had a glimpse of that at the end of Psalm 23, where David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my final destination. That is where God is leading me. And you have a lovely picture of God's plan in Ephesians chapter 1, page 1173. Where you begin to discover in this passage that history is not a succession of meaningless, disconnected events. As you look at the history of our world, as you look at our world with a Christian worldview, we are moving towards a point in history where Jesus Christ will return and God will wrap up this world as we know it today. Look at this great passage. Just pick out some of these great truths. Verse 4, if you're a follower of Christ this morning, you were chosen before the creation of the world to become like Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? And what is Jesus like? Verse 4, he is holy and he is blameless. I don't know about you, I find great encouragement in that, because the picture of sheep in verse 23 is of people who stray and people who wander away, and we know that we're not blameless and we know that we're not holy and we know that we're not perfect, but the Bible says to us, what God has started in your life, he will bring to completion. Wonderful promise of what God is doing for his people. And one day, if you're a follower of Christ, you will be holy and blameless. That's the destination. With all of our struggles and all of our temptations and all of our sin, one day you and I will be like Christ. That's part of God's master plan for people like you and me. The passage goes on to describe how God has made that possible. Verse 5, look, in love you've been adopted into the family of God. Verse 7, you have become the children of God. Brought into a living relationship with God through the death of Jesus Christ. And in verses 9 and 10, God makes it very clear that one day he is going to bring the history of this world to an end. Verse 10, to be put into effect, God's plan, put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. And God will bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. That's a picture which points us to God's new creation, to a new heaven, to a new earth. Our final destination, where God is making everything new, where there will be no more death or pain or mourning or crying, because the old order of things will have passed away. That's our final destination. That's where God is taking us. The plan that's been unfolding since the creation of the world. And look at verse 13 with me. What does it say? It says, and you also were what? Pardon? Included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. In other words, if you're a follower of Christ this morning, you and I have been included. Some of you are smiling this morning. You should be smiling this morning. You've been included in God's master plan. God knows where he is leading us to. So let's pause for a moment to put some of these truths together. Here are some of the foundations we need to get hold of this morning from God's Word. This is the bedrock of understanding the guidance of God this morning. Firstly, God has the power to guide us. One word He spoke and our world came into being. God has the knowledge to guide us. He knows everything about us. God has the desire to guide us. He's like a shepherd. We're like the sheep, and God wants to lead us on the journey of life and bring us to our final destination. That's His commitment to people like you and me. And He knows where He is guiding us to. Ultimately, to a new heaven and a new earth, where you and I will be blameless and perfect and like Christ. What a wonderful picture we've been given in God's Word. So how does God guide us today? You say, these are great truths, you know, but what does it mean for me today? I've got some big decisions to make this week. How do you put this into practice? How do you apply this truth to how you're living today? Well, firstly, I want to say to you that I believe God has given us great freedom. Just pull that back a second. God has given us great freedom. God has given us the ability to make decisions, to make wise choices. He's given us a logical mind so that we can work things out for ourselves. He's given us a great world to enjoy. He's given us so many good gifts that come to us from Him. He wants us to enjoy the life that He has given to us. He doesn't want to push us into a straitjacket. So how do you work out this truth in principle this morning? It's great to know that God has the power to guide us and the desire and the knowledge, and He knows where He's guiding us to. But what does that mean for you and me? When you go out into a new week and you're faced with some major decisions this week, how do you put that truth into practice? Well, I believe God has revealed a number of signposts in the Bible that we need to sort of look at and see what are written on some of those signposts. Because you can't go to the back of the Bible and just sort of flick through guidance and say, suddenly find the answer to your problem or the answer to the decision that you're facing. So I want to suggest to you a number of signposts that we need to be aware of in our lives. God guides us through life. That is absolutely clear from God's Word. And here are some of the signposts that I think we need to be aware of, because this is how I believe God leads us. And when you put some of these signposts together, you begin to understand that actually I can have the wisdom to make the decision that I need to make based on what God has revealed to me. Here's the first of those signposts. And again, it may well be worth jotting these down this morning. First, I want to suggest to you that God guides us behind the scenes. If you were here on Sunday mornings and we went through the book of Ruth, one of the things that we discovered about the book of Ruth is that behind the scenes, God is at work. God is hardly mentioned in the book of Ruth at all. But behind the scenes, we begin to discover that actually God is actually working His purposes out in the life of Ruth and all those people around her. And I want to suggest to you this morning that that is part of the way that God guides us. Behind the scenes, often you may not be aware of it until you actually see things in hindsight. Remember what we said about Ruth? And how a number of things just seem to happen to Ruth. And yet when you put them in the context of the story, actually you recognize that God is at work in her life. So we put it a bit like this. Ruth just happened to come to Bethlehem. Ruth just happened to be hungry. Ruth just happened to go out to the fields one day. Ruth just happened to randomly pick a field. It happened to belong to a rich man. It happened that he loved God. It happened that he was single. It happened that they got married. It happened that the child that they had through that marriage became one of the descendants who would lead to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It just happened. Part of the providence and the sovereignty of God. And it's everywhere. If we just take time to recognize it. A chance meeting. An unexpected telephone call. Bumping into somebody at just the right time. Do you put that down to coincidences, or do you put that down to the guiding and leading hand of God in your life? God often guides us in ways that are beyond our understanding. And a biblical understanding of God's guidance must take account of the sovereignty of God. Never underestimate the ability that God has to lead you and to guide you behind the scenes. That's the first signpost I want you to recognize this morning. The second signpost is that God leads us through the Bible. Turn to Hebrews 1 and verse 1. That's page 1201 if you're following with me in the Bible this morning. Lovely verse about how God speaks into our lives. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. In other words, God's guidance isn't just something that happens behind the scenes. Here's another one of those signposts through which God guides us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God is communicating with us through his Son Jesus Christ, through his word in the Bible. From the very beginning of the Bible, God talks to human beings. The very opening chapters of Genesis, God is speaking to Adam and to Eve. He is giving them instructions. He's giving them directions. He is giving them wisdom. He's giving them knowledge. He explains to them how he wants them to live. And he explains that the consequences of not living in the way which he has intended. And I want to say to you this morning that the Bible is the most productive and effective way of receiving God's guidance. Almost everything that you and I need for life is in this book. The only thing that are missing is sometimes the finer details. And so we are left to apply the principles of God's word to our lives. Because God has already told us in general terms how he wants us to live. He has told us how he wants us to love. He's told us how he wants us to talk. He's told us how to function as a family. He's told us how to take care of our bodies. He's told us how to handle our money. He's told us how to pray. He's told us how to be a good employee. He's told us about all kinds of issues that we come across in our lives. And what you discover as you examine the Bible about guidance is that God is far more interested in how you live than where you live. What's important to God is the kind of neighbor that you are. The way that you raise your family, how you live in your place of work, the kind of person that you are. And the Bible is a signpost for us in working out how God wants us to live in the day-to-day activities of our lives. He has made it clear, and he expects us to work them out in obedience to his word. That's why if we're not reading the word of God on a regular basis, you will miss this signpost. You'll be left wandering around in the dark. You'll be left trying to make it up on your own. Reading the Bible on a regular basis means that God's signpost is coming up in front of us on a regular basis. God guides us behind the scenes. God guides us through his word. Thirdly, I want to suggest to you this morning that God guides us through his Holy Spirit. John 14 and verse 26 says this, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." That's John 14 and verse 26. Now maybe that kind of guidance makes some of you feel a bit uneasy this morning. Sometimes there's a lot of mystery surrounding the Holy Spirit, and we sort of draw back from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this morning, that visions and audible voices are not the Holy Spirit's usual methods of speaking to us. I haven't experienced either of those experiences. But what I do experience in life is the gentle promptings of God's Holy Spirit. And again and again and again, I find that throughout the course of my week, I hear God prompting me to make a phone call, to make a visit, and I find myself at the right place at the right time. How does that work? I don't really know. But I just know that if I'm not tuned in to what God is saying to me, I will not be able to make those decisions. God suggests to you we need to learn to recognize the promptings of God. It is one of the ways in which God guides his people. It is not something you should be nervous about. And if you're unsure that God is saying something to you, then check it out against his word. God will never prompt you by his spirit to do something that is inconsistent with his character or inconsistent with how he works. God guides us through the Holy Spirit. The fourth way in which God guides his people today is through the wisdom of other Christians. Proverbs 12 and verse 15 puts it like this. I'll just read it to you. "The way of the fool is right in his own mind, but he who heeds counsel is wise." God often keeps us on track by guiding us to the counsel of trusted friends who are spiritually tuned into God. But I want to add a note of warning this morning, because I know people who are convinced sometimes that God is saying something to them, and they will go around and they will talk to as many people as they can until they actually find somebody who will confirm what they want to hear. That is not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the wise advice that you get from people who know you well, who when you are faced with a difficult decision, you go to them and you say, "This is the circumstances, you know me, you know what's going on in my life, what do you think?" And when it comes to making important decisions, I want to suggest to you it's well worth getting the advice of other mature Christians. Developing those friendships with people so that when those times come, you can go to that person, you can say, "Look, you know me, you understand me, what do you think God is saying to me here?" That's just another one of the signposts through which God guides us. And finally this morning, I want to suggest to you that God guides us through our unique design. I find this quite intriguing. I was looking at it during the week. It takes us back to Psalm 139, verse 14, where God tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all different. There is only one of you, and there is only one of me. You say, well, that's pretty good. I'm glad there's only one of you. You may feel like that this morning. But we are unique. That is how we are made. And I want to suggest to you this morning that God guides us in line with the way that He has made us. The Bible makes it clear that each one of us is a unique character. You've got different gifts, you've got different talents, you've got different personalities, and I believe that when it comes to the guidance of God, it will always be in line with how God has made you. It will fit with the character that God has given you. And perhaps the greatest way I can illustrate that this morning is to take you to the story of the Apostle Paul, who before he became a Christian was a fervent, enthusiastic, committed, passionate man. That was part of his character. Now, he was passionate about the wrong things. He was passionate about trying to stamp out the Christian church. He went to the furthest degree to try and stamp out the emergence of the Christian faith. But what happened to this man when he was converted on the road to Damascus was that God took those characters and he took those characteristics and he took his passion and he took his intensity and he changed him from trying to stamp out the Christian church. And he had him instead working for the Christian church. So all of the characteristics that made Paul who he was gave him the gifts that he needed to be able to do what God was calling him to do. Our personal makeup is often one of the more significant signposts that God uses to guide us. So can God guide us? The answer to that has to be yes, doesn't it? Because if you look at what the Bible has to say about the character of God, these are some of the conclusions that you will reach, that He has the power to guide us. If He has created our world, if He has spoken our world into being, if He sustains it, then surely He must have the power to guide people like you and me today. He has the knowledge to guide us. And Psalm 139 says, Lord, you know everything about me. You know, I sit when I stand. You know what's on my lips before I even speak a word. And David says, I can hardly take that kind of knowledge in. God has the knowledge to guide us. God has the desire to guide us. That wonderful image in Psalm 23 of that Middle Eastern shepherd guiding and caring and protecting and leading his sheep. And God knows where He is guiding His people to. That gave me great confidence this morning. That is the kind of God that we worship. He knows where He is leading His people to. And how do we put that into practice today? Well, you can't flick to guidance at the back of your Bible. Sometimes we wish we could do that, don't we? We hit a specific problem in life and we think, I'll flick to that decision, I'll see what I should do. But God says, no, I've given you great freedom in life. I've created you as a unique individual. I've created you as somebody who can enjoy life. I have given you life and I've given it in all of its fullness, as Jesus. Life is there to be enjoyed. The gifts which God has given to you are there to be taken and used. So God has given us a series of signposts to work out His guidance in our life. He's spelled it out in His Word and in other ways. And we've looked at some of those signposts this morning. He guides you behind the scenes. I find that really reassuring, actually. And sometimes you won't even be aware of that until you kind of look back over perhaps the last weeks or months or even years sometimes. You say, you know what? God was at work. I just didn't see it at the time. But He's sovereign. And He guides us behind the scenes. He guides us through the Bible. That's why we need to be people who are regularly feeding ourselves from God's Word. If we are not doing that, we will miss the signposts. We will miss out on the wisdom which God wants to give to us so that we make wise decisions in life. He guides us through His Holy Spirit, through that quiet, prompting voice, which sometimes takes a lot of practice to recognize. Sometimes the problems that some of us have is that we're never still enough and we're never quiet enough to actually hear what God is saying to us. We're so busy wanting to speak to God that we don't actually listen to what He is saying to us. But sometimes we'll get that wrong. But I'd rather get it wrong a few times than miss out on it altogether. Signpost of the advice of wise friends. You find yourself facing a major decision. The Bible says to us, it's wise to find the counsel of other people. Go and talk to somebody who knows you. Ask them what they think. Tell them about the circumstances. People who know you well. Seek the wise advice of friends. And your unique design. I think this is a lovely aspect of the guidance of God. Just recognizing that God has made you in a particular way. He's given you certain gifts and certain abilities. And God's guidance will always be in line with the characteristics that He has given to you. So what's the challenge from this passage this morning? Well, for me, as I was looking at it during the week, it was, am I tuning into God's guidance system or not? You see, there are all sorts of competing guidance systems in life at the moment. Lots of you will know when you get on a plane, what's one of the first things that you hear? You know, turn off your electronic devices, turn off your mobile phones, turn off your computers. And why do they say that? They say that to us. I'm not sure if it's actually true or not, but they say it interferes with the guidance system of the aircraft. I don't particularly want to be in an aircraft where the guidance system is being affected by somebody else using a laptop or a computer. That's not the kind of aircraft I want to be on. But that's in a sense what God is challenging us from His Word this morning. What guidance system are you tuning into this morning? You see, there are all kinds of competing guidance systems around us. Some are guided by philosophy. Some people are guided just by the easiest course in life. So they'll always drift towards the easiest decision that is to make. And they kind of drift through life. Others opt for the riskiest path. Because that's a much more exciting route to take. So they take all of the risks. And other people just sit back and they never make any choices. And they just let other people make the choices for them. I want to close this morning with a lovely promise from God. It's a great prayer we can finish with this morning. This is it from the Message. It's lovely to come to a familiar passage. This is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. One that we know quite well from the translation in front of us, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." I love this interpretation of those verses. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Lovely freshness of this verse, isn't there? Listen for God's voice in everything that you do, everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. I think Eugene Peterson hits the nail on the head with this interpretation of Proverbs 3. Run to God. I want to suggest this morning that in many ways the guidance system of God is more like a compass. It points us in the general direction that God wants us to go. God's plans for us are not to harm us, but to prosper us. And in the same way that a compass always points to magnetic north, God's compass will always point us in the direction of God's desire for us. So let me ask you as we conclude, as we come to communion in a few moments, as we come to what in many ways is a meal for the journey, let me ask you, whose guidance system are you tuning into this morning? That's a question for us to think about. When did you last take the compass of God's Word out and say, check the direction that God's Word is taking me on this issue? When's the last time you went and spoke to some wise friends? I need some advice here. When's the last time you stopped and recognized the sovereignty of God in your life? Let's just pause for a moment. Just think about that for a moment. Whose guidance system is shaping your life this morning? Philosophy of this world that says you're at the center of your life. Just do what you want to do. Or is it the guidance system of God's Word? I want to finish with a quotation from Bill Hybels, which I think helps to summarize what we've been looking at this morning. He puts it like this. He says, "We need to recognize that God doesn't hide His guidance in the stars. He doesn't conceal it in a crystal ball. He's not capricious like the flip of a coin. He guides us in such a way that He makes us grow and makes us wise and makes us mature over time. This is all part of an incredible journey, the journey of walking with a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present, who keeps His commitments and guides us every step of the way."